archived at KFAI.org, the community's true voice.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
Bonjour, hello, it's Leah Lem from Native Lights. Today we're dipping into our archives and revisiting our conversation with Barb Faber from the White Earth Nation. She's the president of All Nations Rise and the CEO of Indigenous Visioning and has spent decades empowering Native families and children. We talked with her in the summer of 2022.
Our mission is basically to create positive experiences for children, you know, replace adverse childhood experiences with positive. And it's simple, it's vast, it's broad, but that's the bottom line, what we're trying to do.
Bonjour, hello, welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Leah Lem.
And I'm your other host, Cole Primo. Mi gwaith for joining us today. Native Lights is, at its core, a place for Native folks to tell their stories. Every week, we have wonderful conversations with great guests. These are policymakers, healers, artists, a whole bunch of different people, you name it. We talk to them about their gifts and how they share those gifts with their community. And the purpose of the show is to amplify Native voices, and we're continuing that today. So, Leah, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm great. I'm trying to talk between my child learning to play guitar downstairs. So I will hopefully not be distracted by him strumming real hard and saying, "Dang it, it's not working." How are you doing?
Great. You know, it's hot and getting my summer bronze on. I just watched Stranger Things, the latest season, and that's been pretty... Have you watched that?
Oh, yeah. I watched it the day it came out.
But otherwise, you know, we're just planning on getting the canoe soon from old Pappy Primo and get out on the lakes here in the Twin Cities. So, yeah.
Today, we are going to talk with somebody who has been working for decades for tribal early childhood issues. Barbara Faber is enrolled at the White Earth Nation and really just has spent her life as an advocate and promoting early education. And that's through like all sorts of different levels, like tribal, state, national, federal levels, and in all sorts of different ways. Barb created Indigenous Visioning and All Nations Rise, and those work within Indian country to support tribal high-quality early childhood systems.
Bonjour, Barb. Can you please introduce yourself and, you know, where you're joining us from?
Bonjour. My name is Barb Faber. I am a member of the White Earth Ojibwe Nation here in Minnesota. I'm a mother and grandmother and CEO of Indigenous Visioning and president of All Nations Rise, which is a new nonprofit. And I'm joining you today from beautiful Long Lost Lake in northern Minnesota.
We're definitely going to get into those, you know, those things that you're helming, Indigenous Visioning and all that. But before we get into that, we like to ask, you know, just how you're doing during the pandemic, how your family's doing during 2022.
Doing fine, you know, just like everybody else, kind of, you know, stayed home, did everything remote, you know, masked up, vaccinated, did, you know, all of that, social distancing. And our family still got it, but because we are vaccinated, we didn't get it as bad as some people. So it was mild. So that's good news.
Well, let's hear a little bit about your work, kind of where you are currently. Barb, can you tell us a bit about what you are up to these days?
Well, Indigenous Visioning, we're five women and a 0.5 male on our staff. And what we do is we work within tribal communities to work with tribes. We are working with a national organization to indigenize their process for Indian country, and their process is to build capacity and around childcare to work with the community. And it's something they've been very successful. They've started in Minnesota and they've grown into, I think, 3 other states now. And I've worked in my prior job. I worked for my tribe for 30 years and worked on their federal childcare development block grant. So I was familiar with their work. It's First Children's Finance, and they've just been amazing. They help childcare professionals create a business, manage their business, think of themselves as small businesses, because that's what they are, aside from a high quality early childhood setting for children. So because people can't work if there's not childcare. Mm-hmm. I always think of successful economic development as like a stool with 4 legs. It's housing, jobs, transportation, and childcare. So the stool can't stand without any one of those 4 important things. And so childcare is critical. So being that's been my background for 25 years, I'm very passionate about it, and I'm working with tribes to build their capacity. So we went into partnership with First Children's Finance and created First Children's First Nations Childcare Collaborative, where we're working in 2 tribes in Minnesota now, and we're going to be doing it into 2 more tribes. But we go in there, help the community, the tribe, build a Indigenous core team that will do all the work, do the planning, do the, you know, data gathering, meeting with the community. And while we're there to help facilitate the process, the tribe and the community does it, and we just help facilitate that. And so, you know, we bring all the stakeholders together. We then help them create a childcare action plan for their community to build that capacity. So that's one thing. Another thing is I've been a passion of mine is to empower parents by many means. But the one project that I'm really proud of is, and I know, Leah, you were guest speaker at our Indigenous Parent Leadership. I'm hearing rave reviews about that. So Miigwetch for doing that for our parents. Yes. The Indigenous Parent Leadership Project came from when I worked at the tribe, and I had created some parent mentor programs that were pretty successful. And I was invited by the Children's Defense Fund to come to an event, and I wasn't sure what the event was, but when you get an invite like that, you go. So they asked me to bring a parent from our program, and so we had a volunteer, and the parent and I went and just got to meet some amazing people, hear their life stories of how they, you know, lost everything. They were homeless. There was addiction, there was domestic violence, there was some that were just, you know, you're just wanted to be a part of the project, the training. So then come to find out that was the final event, was that all those people that we met got up and presented, and they were parent graduates of the National Parent Leadership Training Institute, PLTI. And so, you know, I heard their stories about transformation and, you know, how they had lost everything. And some of them had lost everything. And it wasn't until they found PLTI and there's a spiritual connection, whatever that is, and how it transformed them into empowered parents, advocates, child advocates, family advocates, community advocates. And it was just like, both the parent and I were like, we got to get that door wider. So it took a few years, but we finally got it. And thanks to the Voices and Choices in the state of Minnesota, we were able to apply and receive funding from the Community Solution Fund to pilot this on two reservations. So we're doing it in White Earth and Red Lake. It's an amazing program. As you've seen, they attend, it's a cohort of parents. So the parents are empowered with child development and kind of the why. And then they build on and hone in on their skills around advocacy and leadership. And then they do a civic engagement on how to use their voice. Once they've, you know, fine-tune that, how do they use their voice and where? So they look at, you know, it's understanding of how governments work and systems work and, you know, how to work within those systems to advocate for your child or your community.
Well, Barb, could you talk a little bit how your version of the Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative brings in culture?
Well, with all the people that we had met who had gone through it, there was a common theme. They all had a really strong spiritual kind of connection to their faith, whatever that was. And of course, we immediately thought of culture because of the historical trauma, what we've lost, you know, and a lot of us didn't grow up with that because our grandparents and great-grandparents went to boarding schools and wouldn't teach future generations. Like my mom, my dad, you know, my dad said my grandpa would not, he was full-blooded. He knew the language, but he wouldn't teach his children because he didn't want his children to be beaten. And, you know, so that's kind of, you know, we knew that we had to reintroduce our culture and some of our teachings. Mm-hmm. So we thought of course, Dr. Anton Troyer. You know, he's just a fabulous guy, and he's, we've had several conversations. And matter of fact, when I got back from the Children's Defense Fund event that years ago, he was the first person I took it to and talked to him about it, and he thought it was amazing, and he thought it would be a great idea to add the culture. And he said, yes, you know, count me in. So it took a few years, but we finally got the funding and went immediately to him again. And he helped us. He helped write a cultural curriculum foundation, a cultural foundation curriculum. And he talked to elders from both reservations to help create that foundation. And the questions were pretty basic, is what do you think that young parents would benefit from as a starting foundation or a building foundation? And so that gave them content to develop this wonderful curriculum. And so we call it Indigenous Parent Leadership Training, our initiative. And then they're in the middle of their classes, and then they go to 21 classes. They'll graduate. They all have a community project where they'll get to use their voice. And so after graduation, we hope to have another one, and they'll help mentor these parents. And, you know, in theory, if we can get programs to help keep it going after the grant ends, you know, you could graduate 20 to 40 parent advocates every year. And so on and so on, you know, and so hopefully it'll have a ripple effect, and I'm already hearing that it is. And we're also, I know Beth Ann is very interested and some of the parents are interested in bringing the child component into this. There is a children's leadership training that's, you know, similar to this. So we're kind of going to look at that as the next step. But yeah, so those are two of our biggest projects.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine.
Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, we're revisiting our conversation with Barb Faber from summer of 2022. Barb is the president of All Nations Rise and the CEO of Indigenous Visioning and has spent decades empowering Native families and children. I saw you had an article written last year about fixing the shortage of childcare. And this sounds like the work that you do is aligned with helping to fix that shortage, building capacity for tribes.
Yes, I was also chair of a national tribal child care association. And we worked with a lot of tribes across the country. And, you know, I love that. And I, when I was at White Earth, I got a lot of calls from other tribes. Because at White Earth, I was able to build an awesome team, and we just, you know, our focus was building capacity for White Earth. And so, you know, at that time, back in the early 90s, that's when the tribe received the funding. And so there was one other tribe, and that was Leech Lake. And so, and that's actually how I met Tammy Finn, who's part of our team here. And they had already created tribal childcare licensing. And it was kind of based on the state, but they, you know, indigenized it for their community and their reservation. So I, White Earth did the same thing. I went to Leech Lake, learned from them, went to the state, I learned from them. We created our own tribal licensing, and tribes can do that. You know, they're sovereign nations and they could do that. And I just think every tribe should do that. But because you have more control, whereas at that time, the state visited licensed childcare sites once every 2 years. And I think it was 6 hours of training, very minimal. That wasn't good enough for us, you know. So, when we created that, we also, you know, then created the child care assistance and then the quality program and a early childhood training program. So my licensor and my on staff educator trainer, that was their task, is once to recruit child care providers and spoil them, basically give them everything they need, because, you know, child care is a very lonely career, you know, because you're there in a home, you know, 5 days a week, you know, year round. You're working 6:30 to 5:30 sometimes, you know, year round. So it's can be a very lonely job, but, you know, it's probably the most rewarding job, because, you know, I did informal childcare, and then we managed childcare centers, and it's just a rewarding job, because those kids are like little sponges, you know. When children are in childcare full time, they're with that childcare provider more waking hours than a parent. So how important is that childcare provider to your child? So that was their job, and they did an awesome job. And when I left the tribe, we had, I believe, around 18, 19 tribally licensed childcare homes and centers. And then I just talked to staff there not that long ago, and I think they were up to like 23. So, and that's all that they do, is they go into those childcare homes, you know, at least a couple times a month for quality, just developing strong relationships with them. The licensor wasn't there looking for things, you know, to cite them on. They were there to support them if they needed any kind of support. So it was, you know, that, and I don't know if any other tribe does that. I know not in Minnesota, there's not many tribally licensed childcare. So, I mean, we spoil them around training, and, you know, many of them, I think, it was like 80% of them were parent aware rated, which is the state's quality rating system. And so, yeah, I mean, it just, it takes a lot of time and effort, but it's so worth it.
You're listening to Native Lights, Where Indigenous Voices Shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, we're revisiting our conversation with Barb Faber from summer of 2022. Barb is the president of All Nations Rise and the CEO of Indigenous Visioning and has spent decades empowering Native families and children.
What set you down the path and how did you, you know, find yourself in this career? What brought about this passion in you to do this?
I couldn't even tell you. Oh, I guess I would. If I had to think of one thing, was I worked for Indian Child Welfare for 3.5 years when I first came to work for the tribe back in the late 80s. And we had to place a lot of kids and we had to remove kids. And I just seen the tragedy of removing children from their parents, regardless of the situation, regardless of what happens. Mom, dad still love those children. And even if children are in foster care, they love their parents. So I always made it a point to, you know, really nurture our foster parents. A lot of the time, kids would just show up on the door and they had no clue what the background was, what happened, you know, if that child was, you know, abused or if they were just what. So I always made it a point to try to develop a really strong relationship with the foster parents and support them, because like childcare, it's the same thing. And so I, you know, we did that. I licensed the foster homes. I placed kids there. We got them training, supported them. And then I made every effort to try to make sure that the parents and the children were still communicating. But I always thought, where are the programs or who's out there to help families before they get to this stage? At that time, there wasn't any, you know, really wasn't much. I worked there and that was the hardest 3.5 years of my life. And I think that probably was the changing thing. I wanted to be farther up the river and, try to help before families get that. So
I had a question about, something that I found interesting when I was looking through this Indigenous Visioning's work, the bullet points of what you guys do. I saw this Indigibox, subscription box. Yeah. Could you please talk about that? Because I'm really interested in that.
Well, that was Tammy Finn's idea. I never knew what a subscription box was. It's geared towards early childhood, but really it's for anybody. And so we landed on creating a box for any classroom where there's either Indigenous children or they want to learn about Indigenous. So we wanted to make sure it wasn't, you know, we're not selling culture. We're not, you know, that is not what this is about. It's about providing the classroom with some teachings, Ojibwe teachings, and it's based on 4 seasons. And within, we look at what's happening in that season. And then we'll take 3 or 4 themes and we'll create a lesson plans around that teaching. And Taylor, our early childhood specialist, was a early childhood teacher. So she comes with amazing background. And so we wanted to, like, say, for example, maple syrup. You know, you can do a lot of lesson plans around maple syrup. And then you integrate academics into it, the lesson plans. We use Teaching Strategies Gold, which is kind of a more popular curriculum and observation and assessment tool. So we try to tie whatever we do into that. So then classroom teachers don't have to do that work. I was getting these calls and emails, and it was from a tribe that had missed the ordering deadline. So she was like, I need to order it, blah, blah, blah. And she said, you know, I hired a cultural consultant, and while they were awesome, the kids retain what they learn from Indigibox more because it's all hands-on. Like, they get to build a wigwam, you know, we send materials so the classroom can build a wigwam, and there's teachings around that, you know, and same with the drum, you know, there's teachings around the drum, there's teachings around Manomin, you know, I mean, so we add those teachings in there, and it's been a great thing, you know, the only thing, you know, it's, things are very expensive. The other thing we do is we also hire local artists or vendors to create something for the box. So we did beaded keychains. So, you know, sought out a artist that could make us keychains, and we bought 158 from them. So everything is expensive. You know, we're not making much of a profit if you count in staff time. So, you know, we love it, but we need to figure out a way to pay for staff time for it. Because, you know, we don't want to raise the price again. We just had to do it because of the inflation stuff. And we're not in it to make money, but we need, you know, we need to keep it going feasibly.
Is there a preferred method of getting in touch?
Just go to our website, indigenousvisioning.com, and there's a contact sheet there.
Okay.
And so the Indigibox, it's, there's a period of, I think, a few weeks where you can order, and then it closes because then we know how many boxes we get to make. And we didn't know how it was going to turn out. So we just made 50 boxes the first time just to see if it'll go. And, you know, before a week was over, we were sold out already. And so then we said, okay, well, let's try another box. And so we did the full year. Now we're on our second year, and, you know, our orders are way up, but, you know, it's finding those vendors again and finding elders that want to share a story. And we have a cultural consultant that helps look over everything to make sure everything's okay. And so, yeah, just, it's getting culture out there, and it's, you know, especially for those classrooms, maybe that don't have any, Native children, but they want to learn about us and things like that. And there's classes out there where there are, some Native students, and how wonderful is that to connect with your culture in that classroom. So.
Chimigwech, Barb. Yeah. Appreciate it so much.
Yeah.
Very cool programs, very cool initiatives. It can change the lives of so many people.
Well, Miigwech.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Chimigwech. Yes. Gigawabamin.
Barb Faber, citizen of the White Earth Nation. Barb created Indigenous Visioning and All Nations Rise, and has worked in the field for so long, working within Indian country to support tribal high-quality early childhood systems.
I really liked her thought of, you know, going up the river, helping it before it becomes a problem. And
right.
Yeah.
Being proactive as opposed to reactive. I mean, you got to be reactive too, but also proactive.
I'm Cole Primo.
And I'm Leah Lem. Miigwech for listening. Gigawabin. Native Lights, Where Indigenous Voices Shine, is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
KFAI is pleased to present psychedelic prog rockers Elder, Sunday, May 28th at Fine Line in Minneapolis. With support from Ruby the Hatchet and Howling Giant, this show will have you projecting thoughts into the sphere. Tickets for Elder, Ruby the Hatchet, and Howling Giant are available now at First Avenue's website. Visit first-avenue.com for more details.
May is KFAI's 45th birthday, and we're celebrating all month by giving our gifts to you.
Listen to Pardon My Dust or Radio Pocho to catch a weekly trivia question about KFAI's history. If you know the answer, send it to us at hello@kfai.org for a chance to win a collection of hand-picked 45s from your local record store partners and a Newmark PT-01 portable record player. We call it the Scratch Pack.
Submit your answers by email to hello@kfai.org or by phone at 612-887-5070.
If you missed the trivia question, you can always catch it in the archives at kfai.org or on the mobile app.
Special thanks to Jaime's Vintage Records, White Bear Lake Records, Agarta, Barely Brothers Records, and Down in the Valley for their contributions to the Scratch Pack.
KFAI is proud to present Jaden James at the Dakota for two shows on Saturday, June 3rd. Jaden James is celebrating the release of her new album, Loving You So Hard, showcasing her abilities as a powerhouse singer, songwriter, and creative.